Money 105.5 presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, from Rogerson Business Services, certified business broker, Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0.
Good morning and welcome to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson. I have two guests this morning. My first guest, actually, they're both attorneys, so it'll be fun to have a conversation with two attorneys. But my first attorney is actually a practicing attorney, and his name's Rex Berry. And my second guest calling in from Florida is Rick Champagne. And Rex is a partner in a local law firm. It's called Berry & Block. And one of the areas of expertise that that Rex practices in is employment law. So we'll be talking to Rex about employment legal issues. And he actually has a seminar coming up on the 31st of July, and we'll get some more details about that as we get into the talking with Rex. Rick Champagne, as I mentioned, is also an attorney, but right now he's focusing on building a franchise called Big Frog T-Shirts. So I thought that name was worth having on the show just to understand how the heck do you make a business called Big Frog T-Shirts. So Rick will be calling in from Florida later on the show. If you're listening and you're out driving and you hear something that you'd like to hear again, you're welcome to go to my website. You can actually hear the show on the website. It'll be there later on this afternoon. My website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com. Actually in the process of getting that rebuilt right now, but you can go to the website. There's a black ribbon across the top. There's a tab there that says Media. If you click on Media, there's a drop down that says 105.5 FM, and then there's a recording of the show you can listen to. So if you're listening, please go to the show and listen to it later on today at your convenience. So what's this show about? This show is for business owners or those dreaming of becoming a business owner and looking for more information and ready to take action. We cover topics that include the spectrum of selling a business or buying a franchise. These topics include finance, tax, accounting, as well as sales and marketing. And today we're focusing on legal issues and employment law with Rex as the guest. My name is Andrew Rogerson. I'm a certified business broker and the host of your show. I'm certified through the California Association of Business Brokers. I'm also certified with International Business Brokers Association. I'm the author of four books, Successfully Start Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Franchise, and of course, Successfully Sell Your Business. If you'd like to know more, you're welcome to visit my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com, or you're welcome to give me a call, 916-570-2674. And again, if you hear something on the show, you're welcome to go to my website and download the show and listen to it at your convenience. Each week I like to mention a charity. As I say, the world doesn't get better without people contributing and helping, and that's the benefit of having charities in our community. There's an event on Saturday, this Saturday, July 13th, called Race for the Ring. If you're into smartphones, if you're into technology, if you have a partner, you've got to have a team of two, you can pedal, skate, and walk through Sacramento solving clues using your smartphone. It costs $50 to register, and all the money goes to the Sacramento Food Bank. Great cause. So if you can help out, that would be great. If you want some more information, just visit the website, www.sacramentofoodbank.org. It's a .org, not a .com, sacramentofoodbank.org. And over on the right-hand side there, you'll see a link to Race for the Ring, and you can get some more information. But if you can help out on Saturday, goes from Saturday, starts about 9 o'clock and finishes about 1:30 in the Sacramento area, and you'd be helping a great cause, the Sacramento Food Bank. If you have an interest, each week I try and do a blog. Last week I was out traveling, so I couldn't do it. But there's a blog on my website that says, how much tax will I pay when I sell my business? So if you're looking to answer that question, how much tax will I pay when you sell your business? I've written a blog. It was published on June 11th. You're welcome to go there and have a look at that and get some thoughts about how much tax you'll pay when you sell your business. It's a question I get asked very often. So that's a blog for you to read when you've got a moment. So my first guest, it's a gentleman called Rex Berry, and he made the mistake of telling me before he came on air that in his earlier life he was a radio host. So he's the expert. So Rex, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew. Good to see you this morning. And I have to be clear, it was a far, far earlier life, back when my hair was a lot darker than it is now. I was curious, though, that when you said that you were actually looking forward to talking to two attorneys today, I would think that would put you in the vast minority of business owners who would just as soon go to the dentist for a root canal than have to call their attorney.
The thinking I had was, I've got to talk to two attorneys, so if I get it over and done with, I can then get on with the rest of the day. So that was the approach I was using. I was going with a positive approach.
And normally that works. Although one of the things that we do try to do with our clients is make them not afraid of the 10-minute phone call. And that is, when a problem comes up, when you have an employment issue with an employee, everyone in California has issues with their employees, to be comfortable enough to make that 10-minute phone call and explain what it is you're trying to do, get some guidance and walk through it, that 10-minute phone call is much, much less expensive than having me come in after a lawsuit's filed with a big expensive broom trying to clean up a mess.
So that's a great thing to mention. So a simple 10-minute phone call can be a huge investment for an employer, because in 10 minutes, I know you're simplifying things, but in 10 minutes you can wrap your arm around an issue and give some feedback to the employer and work out next steps.
Well, it's a simple matter of getting the right guidance. California is a very complicated place for employers to do business. The California legislature believes that more laws are better on virtually every subject.
Right.
And my experience with our clients is they're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to get it right. Right. The days of Simon Legree are far gone, I believe.
Right.
But the regulatory and statutory framework is really difficult for clients to work through.
Right.
So with a little bit of guidance ahead of time, not worrying that you're going to get overcharged for a 10-minute or 15-minute phone call.
Right.
A lot of times with our clients, a 5-minute phone call, 10-minute phone call never shows up on the bill. There's no point in that.
Right.
Rather than sort of taking your best shot and hunkering down and hoping it all turns out okay.
Yep. So I love what you're talking about, because I do agree with you. Talking with attorneys, I'm working with attorneys all the time when I'm doing business transactions, and knowing when the right time to approach them and bring them into a transaction, those sorts of things, it's a little bit intimidating. So if I'm an employer and I've got a question, you're a busy guy. So for me to call and expect you to be available waiting for me to call and make a phone call to you, it's just not going to happen.
I would hope that's not the case for a couple of reasons. There's the old saying that lawyers are the crowbars in the wheels of progress, that anytime someone wants to be told no, all they have to do is call their lawyer. Our approach is to try to let you figure out what it is you want to accomplish, give you a pathway to get there that's consistent with your level of being risk averse.
Right.
What level of risk are you willing to tolerate? What lets you sleep at night?
Yep.
With our firm, we've chosen to be, by our own nature, small. We're a small firm. We're a boutique firm. I've been in large firms. I've been in 500-lawyer, 800-lawyer firms.
Right.
I made a conscious decision to get out of that because I like to be able to be face-to-face with my clients.
Yep.
In our firm, we have a one-hour rule, and that is when you get the message from a client calls in, you get back to them within an hour.
Wow.
And even if it's to tell them, I'm in the middle of something,
right.
I can't get to you today, can I call you after 5? Can I call you after, in the morning? Clients tend to not call their lawyers just to chat.
Right.
They call because they have a problem and they need that problem solved now. So we work on being responsive to those clients and getting back to them quick, not letting it sit for a day or two or three.
Right. And when somebody calls in, do you like to, if you're busy, which obviously that's you're not here now, you're not there now, you're talking to me. So if somebody's calling in now, would you like them to leave a voicemail message about their problem, or just leave a message that they've called and have you call back and spend the time with them? What works best in that situation?
I think what works best is, give me a 15, 20-second description of what the problem is. That will help me figure out how much time our call is going to take,
right.
How I can slot you in, how I can make sure that I get back to you with information you can use.
Yep.
Occasionally I get a call with just a phone number saying, hey, I was referred to you by so-and-so.
Right.
Can you call me back? I got a problem.
Right.
That's fine as well, but we're starting from a dead stop.
Yes.
Rather than me being able to effectively give you advice that you can use right then.
Sure. And if they leave a voicemail message, I'm sure it helps you if they say, I'm available these times, so that you've got a frame of reference to say, okay, well, I can't meet that first time or that second time, but yes, I can collect them on the third time, and it helps you prioritize your time as well.
Absolutely right. And my experience is that if they can be flexible, I can be flexible,
right,
and we can get together, you know, within the day.
Yep, yep. So the law firm you've got, is there two partners or there more?
There are two partners, and we have a junior partner, Brian Crone, who works with us. There are three of us. My partner Eileen is a business lawyer. She does not do employment law primarily. Yeah. She does businesses, but everything from the incorporation of a business through succession planning, through shareholder disputes, director disputes, dissolution of businesses. Eileen has been in Sacramento for 30 years practicing. She knows everyone in this town.
Right.
Is very, very much touts herself as being the Jewish mother of the Sacramento business community, because she always is very interested in how her clients are doing and worries about them constantly.
Sure.
So Eileen and I practiced together for a while in another firm. We looked at each other one day and said, gee, we think we could do this.
Right.
She is an indispensable asset to me in terms of her business background.
Right.
I hope I'm equally indispensable to her in terms of having some employment background, because a lot of her clients have these issues that come up.
Right.
And we cross-pollinate back and forth. Brian Crone, who's with us, is a master litigator, does employment work, ADA access defense, which is sort of the new slip and fall case of now.
Rex, we're going to take a break. I've got some more questions for you after the break. Thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. My guest this morning is Rex Berry from Block & Berry, and I've got some more legal questions for Rex when we get back from a break.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 105.5 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
They said it would be so super easy.
Who?
You know, they.
Oh, you met them?
Yes, they.
Mm. Oh, they, that they.
Yes,
the
yes.
People who say.
Yeah, long name,
amazing results.
Results.
Yeah, I know.
The SacramentoHelpWanted.com people.
I love them. I posted my resume in minutes, searched hundreds of local jobs.
And you found a job.
Thanks to them, I did.
They.
Ah, I always wondered who they were.
SacramentoHelpWanted.com.
Now I know.
Welcome to Linda's Javapalooza. I'm Linda.
Wow, this is huge.
57,000 square feet of potential employees. What are you looking for?
Retail.
All the way in the back. Turn left when you hit the IT guys.
Thank you.
We know this is ridiculous, but we're making a point. We're SacramentoHelpWanted.com. And if you're an employer looking for qualified local employees with experience in retail all in one place, don't go here.
There was nobody back there.
Did you turn left at the IT guys?
They weren't there either.
SacramentoHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of 4 books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest this morning is Rex Berry. And Rex is with a local boutique law firm called Berry Block. And they've actually got a seminar on employment law, and that's my conversation with Rex now for the rest of the time we've got together, is to talk about employment law. But if you're listening and you'd like some more information, you're welcome to go to Rex's website, www.berryblock.com, berryblock.com, and there'll be some information there about the seminar they've got. It's on Saturday, the 31st of July. Have I got that right, Rex?
It is not on a Saturday.
What's today? The 16th, 23rd, 30th? It must be on a Wednesday.
It is.
Wednesday, okay. And it's an all-day...
I'm glad to do one on a Saturday, if you'd like. I could do that as well.
Yeah. it's an all-day event. Have I got that right?
It is an all-day event. Yeah. Lorman is putting it on. I'll be moderating the seminar. We have some excellent speakers from throughout the employment law community in Sacramento, from the Cook Brown firm, from Downey Brand. Excellent lawyers, Rob Reidiger, Lisa Ryan, Shay Schrick. My partner, Brian Crone, and Kerry Bushman all will be joining us at the seminar.
So it's quite a cross-section of attorneys in town. So it's not just about Berry and Block.
Absolutely.
It's a cross-section of attorneys.
In spite of my best efforts to make it all about me,
yes, exactly.
I failed miserably.
Yep, excellent. So tell me, you kind of touched on it before. When I called an employment lawyer for advice, you kind of outlined a 10-minute conversation, keep things simple. What are some of the biggest mistakes, though, when an employer is looking to hire somebody? What are some of the biggest mistakes they can address to stop the problem happening in the first place?
Well, I think there are probably two main mistakes. One is not making use of the information that's out there. Simple as Googling the employee that you're looking to hire. The internet's an astonishing thing. It's a history book that never goes away. There may be information out there simply by Googling an employee that would be relevant to a decision as to whether or not you think this employee is a good fit for you. Now, let me say, though, there are employers who have gone much further, for example, and have insisted on an applicant providing their Facebook password,
okay,
for example,
yes,
or their private social media passwords. California legislature has passed a new law that's effective this year that makes that practice illegal. So it is now prohibited to require an employee or an applicant to give you their Facebook password, their private social media passwords. Having said that, though, and you can understand the privacy reasons for that.
Sure.
But having said that, there still is information out there that you can simply obtain by Googling someone. Another huge mistake, Andrew, is a failure to follow up with a reference from a prior employer. Failure to call the prior employer and say, all right, what was this person like working for you? Now, there are a number of employers who have been told by their lawyers, don't say anything.
Right.
If you get a reference call, don't say anything. You'll
right.
get sued. My experience is that if the applicant that you are inquiring about was a good worker, was a good employee, that employer is going to be happy to talk to you about them. If the employer can't or won't tell you anything about them, that doesn't necessarily mean there's anything bad,
right,
but it does mean that you've neglected to obtain some information that otherwise might have been available. So the way to summarize it is do your homework before you fire someone.
Right. Right.
Check up on their resume, make sure they worked where they said they worked.
Yep.
If there are any significant gaps, you want to know about that.
Yep.
And do a little internet sleuthing of your own just right. as to what's available publicly.
Right. And again, keep it simple, but there's things you can do.
Absolutely.
So if
and things that you can do without lawyers.
Well, that's even better still.
Sacrilege. I know that is.
Yes. So you've made the decision to hire somebody and a complaint comes up. And I was saying to Rex off air before, I used to work at HP. I was an outsourced program manager, so I wasn't hired by HP. I worked for a company called Vault, but I was responsible for managing my people on site at HP. And so one of my huge responsibilities was HR. So when a complaint comes in, Rex, how would you typically like to see a business owner handle a complaint?
And this is one of the things we'll be dealing with in, frankly, some excruciating detail in the seminar. But you obviously need to take the complaint seriously. You want to make sure that you have the complainant's side of what happened. If you can get them to give you a written statement to write it down and sign it while it's fresh in their mind, that can be very helpful to you in marshaling your resources later. Ultimately, you're going to want to talk to the people that the complaint is about. And one of the big issues that comes up, Andrew, all the time is the employee saying to you, the complaining employee saying, well, I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to know about it.
Right.
All right. Well, unfortunately, once you're told the problem exists, under the law, you've got an obligation to follow through to some sort of conclusion on it.
Right.
What you tell the employee is, you know, absolutely, there will be no retaliation
right.
against you.
Right.
We appreciate you bringing this information forward to us. You conduct the investigation you can. Sometimes you will be asked, well, can this be kept private?
Right.
Can my name be kept out of this?
Yeah.
And the answer to that, frankly, is no, that it will be solely disclosed on a need-to-know basis. You've got no interest in publicizing the information.
Sure.
However, in order to make sure that you're able to ask the appropriate questions, you may need to disclose that complaining employee's identity.
Right.
at the conclusion, you want to make sure that you document what has happened. And it's not just with regard to complaints, but even when you have a counseling issue with an employee, to make sure that you're having some written record of what happened. But where we see employees or employers make a mistake all the time is they go crazy with documentation.
Okay.
Even on a simple issue, suddenly they're writing 10, 20 pages.
Right.
Sometimes all you need to do is make a short notation, had a meeting with Jennifer about absenteeism, here's the date, and that's all you need. The reason you don't overdo it is sometime later, some lawyer like me representing them is going to take those notes and try to jam them back down your throat.
Interesting. Okay. We've got about 3 minutes left, Rick, so I've got a couple more questions.
Sure.
If you have a difficult employee, I use the word difficult in inverted commas, and you can put whatever label you want on difficult, but if you've come to a conclusion that having somebody continue to work for the company isn't in the best interest of the company, what's the best way to work through that process?
Carefully is the is the best way. Once you've made a decision, and this is a business decision primarily we're talking about, not a legal decision,
right?
You have to determine, can an employee be salvaged?
Okay.
If the employee can be salvaged, it's much better to work with them than salvage them. If they can't be salvaged, you need to cut your losses and move on. If you've decided that employee needs to go, you can bring them in, have a conversation with them. You may be shocked to find out they're not happy working for you either, right, and they've come to the conclusion that it's time to part ways.
Yep.
There's the opportunity to negotiate, just, again, without lawyers, negotiate right there with the employee. Perhaps you'll let them resign instead of firing them.
Right.
That's a very valuable thing to an employee. If they can say truthfully in their job search that they quit and didn't get fired, that's important.
Sure.
You may or may not want to look at some type of separation agreement where for a small amount of money, they would agree to sign a release of claims against you.
Yep.
That can be done in a very short form manner, can be done in a page. Frankly, it shouldn't take more than a page to have an agreement like that.
When you're you've got the clientele that work with you, do you provide a service to set them up? So if somebody wants to have a review of their employment hiring practices and those sorts of things, is that a service that you offer?
Absolutely. One of the things we do is it's we call it an employer policies review, a handbook review. Most handbooks are woefully out of date, especially with some of the changes now that have happened in California law.
Yep.
The changes with California's pregnancy disability leaves, pregnancy discrimination statutes.
Yep.
All of those handbooks, if you haven't had your handbook reviewed in, I would say, the last 3 years,
it's time
do it now. And those are services that we provide to make sure that employers are on the straight and narrow.
Yep. My producer is giving me a wind-up signal, Rick, so I think I need to do what I'm told to do. I'm not normally good at doing that, but thank you for being a guest this morning. I really appreciate having you here.
It's been my pleasure.
Rex is doing a seminar on the 31st of July again. Go to his website, www.berryblock.com, and you can get some more information on there. And you're welcome to give Rex a call. I've got his phone number here. Rex, what's your phone number?
Phone number is 916-564-2000.
Well, thank you for listening this morning. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. We'll be back from a break shortly. I'll introduce Rick Champagne to you from Big Frock T-Shirt Company.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 105.5 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
U.S. stocks advance on earnings optimism. From Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York, I'm Donna Wilson. U.S. stocks are up for a fourth day amid optimism companies will report better than forecast earnings and that economic growth is strong enough to withstand any reduction in Federal Reserve stimulus. All 10 groups in the S&P 500 rose. FedEx rallied 6.6% to lead industrial shares higher. And Kroger climbed 2.5% after saying it will buy Harris Teeter supermarkets in a deal valued at $2.5 billion. But Alcoa slipped 0.7% even after posting earnings that beat analyst estimates and maintaining its forecast for global aluminum demand. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 85 points to 15,309. S&P 500 Index up 0.7% to 1652. And the NASDAQ is up 0.6% to 3505. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-568-ORDER. That's 1-800-568-ORDER. 1-800-568-ORDER.
They said it would be so super easy.
Who?
You know, they.
Oh, you met them?
Yes, they.
Oh, they, that they.
Yes,
the
yes.
People who say...
Yeah, long name,
amazing results.
Results.
Yeah, I know.
The SacramentoHelpWanted.com people.
I love them. I posted my resume in minutes, searched hundreds of local jobs.
And you found a job.
Thanks to them, I did.
They.
Ah, I always wondered who they were.
SacramentoHelpWanted.com.
Now I know.
Welcome to Linda's Jobapalooza. I'm Linda.
Wow, this is huge.
57,000 square feet of potential employees. What are you looking for?
Retail.
All the way in the back. Turn left when you hit the IT guys.
Thank you.
We know this is ridiculous, but we're making a point. We're SacramentoHelpWanted.com. And if you're an employer looking for qualified local employees with experience in retail all in one place, don't go here.
There was nobody back there.
Did you turn left at the IT guys?
They weren't there either.
SacramentoHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of 4 books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live 10 a.m. Tuesdays right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest calling all the way in from Florida is Rick Champagne. And Rick's with a company called Big Frog T-Shirt, and that name in itself was enough to get me excited to have Rick come on and talk to me. Rick, are you there? No, we've lost Rick. Okay, that's he's there somewhere.
Andrew?
I've got you there. Hey, Rick, are you there?
Yes.
Great. Thank you for being there. I was breaking out in a sweat there because I'm going to have a conversation with myself for about 25 minutes, and that wasn't an exciting thought. So tell me, you're tucked away in Florida, and my first guest this morning was an attorney, and I believe you have the unfortunate experience of being an attorney as well. Have I got that right?
That is true. When I first graduated law school a couple hundred years ago, I practiced for 3 or 4 years and found out there were 2 things about the practice of law I didn't care for. One was attorneys, and the other was clients, so I gave it up.
So that would be a nasty surprise then, I'd think, to have the 2 things that are important in life not get you excited anymore.
It's exactly right, exactly right.
So what did you do? You've gone through, you've got your law degree, you're a smart guy, and you must have said to yourself, okay, what do I do now with myself? What did you decide to do with yourself?
Well, actually, I went into another career altogether that had to do with healthcare, and that was for a fair amount of time, about 15 years. And then in an effort to get back to the law, I joined a franchise company as its house counsel. And that lasted about 30 days. I found that I disliked that about as much as I disliked the general practice of law. But the individual owner of that business asked me to become his franchise development director.
Right.
And I've been doing that for the last 32 years now. Unfortunately, that now betrays my rather advanced years. I'm what's referred to as an old guy.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, your voice gives the impression you're a young guy, so it's good to put a bit of reference around that you're older than your voice sounds. So that's interesting. What I'm also interested too, though, is that the beauty of entrepreneurship is that you had a skill being an attorney, you passed the bar, but you're able to change directions. And that to me is one of the exciting things about being an entrepreneur. You can look for opportunities, and when they don't go we're not working out in the direction that you're going, you can change directions. And that's what you've done. It sounds like you've done it a few times in your career.
Well, I love helping people to find the right business for themselves. It's a very important process that people, with help from folks like yourself, select a business not for the wrong reasons, and there's lots of wrong reasons, by the way,
right?
But rather select a business that's a great fit for them, which is the only right reason.
Yes, yep, and that's the intriguing part about what I do. It's finding that right business for the right reasons, and it's hard to explain that to franchise buyers sometimes because they're overwhelmed with the process. And what you're really trying to do is to keep it simple by saying, okay, what are your skill sets? What do you enjoy doing? Let's see if we can find a match that works for you, because if it works for you, it's got to also work for the franchisor, and that's part of the business model. And if there is a synergy, then the sky can be the limit.
All I can say to that is amen. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah. So you've done different franchise developments over the years then, and I want to talk to you about Big Frog T-shirt in a minute, but you've done some other different franchise concepts as well?
I have. In 32 years, I've typically spent 4 or 5 years helping to get a franchise company up, operating, rolling forward, get them to a point where they're self-sustaining. I tend to move on after that. My interest is really in the startup side of it.
Right, right. And that's good, because again, that's the intriguing thing about entrepreneurship. There's different phases of a business. There is the startup phase, and a lot of people don't like dealing with those hassles. I enjoy it because it's where the juice is for me, but it doesn't work for some people. Some people prefer to get in when it's in maintenance mode and just continue running it, and some people like to be at the end when it's time to renew it or trash it and start all over again. So again, the beauty of entrepreneurship, you can pick up different businesses at different stages of their evolution and bring the skills and the energy and the passion that you have, and as I like to say, kick butt.
It's all about the right fit for the right individual.
Yep, very good. So the reason you got involved with your latest venture, why a T-shirt shop?
Well, it's funny you ask that question. I received a phone call when I was engaged in a different enterprise from the CEO of Big Frog. They were a one-store operation, and he had heard about me through his banker here in Tampa, where I live.
Yep.
Felt had advised that I would be the right person to help them become a franchise. And I set an appointment to meet with these folks. And then belatedly, perhaps, asked them what was the nature of the business, and they said that they were a T-shirt business, and my heart sank, but I'd already committed to the meeting. When I got there, I realized a couple of things. First of all, my assumption that this was old technology was absolutely incorrect.
Right.
The technology was brand new at the time. That technology is completely revamping a $42 billion industry.
Wow.
That was billion with a B, not million with an M.
Yeah.
But more importantly, this wasn't just a T-shirt shop. This is custom garment decorating, and this is more of a light manufacturing business than a retail business. In fact, the hours of operation are banker's hours. We're open Monday to Friday, 9 to 6. No evening hours. We're open Saturday for a half a day until 1, and we're not even open on Sunday. The investment is not typical of retail. It's much lower than retail. The footprint of the store is much below a typical retail store. And perhaps most importantly, the employee count is typically 2 to 3 employees instead of a horde of low-paid individuals who are there primarily for a paycheck. Our employees are dedicated to what they do. They're semi-professional. They're easy to find, and they love doing what they do.
So is the typical place where a Big Frog T-shirt company hangs out, is it in the retail environment, or is it in a commercial environment?
We decided at the very beginning that we would exist entirely in a retail setting because what we now offer is something which is a brand new product for a brand new marketplace. We need the exposure of the retail neighbors that we have. We springboard off of the success of a major grocery chain or a Target store. Maybe we're next door to a Five Guys Burgers and on the other side a haircutting salon where there's a fair amount of traffic in and out.
Right.
We want people to see that sign that says Big Frog Custom T-Shirts and poke their head in out of curiosity. Incidentally, when they do so, they open the door and the door chime sounds like a frog croaking. Puts a smile on their face. And,
absolutely.
We're all about fun. This is the most fun business I've seen in 32 years in franchising.
Right. And what's the average size of in square feet of a Big Frog T-shirt store?
We run between 1,000 and 1,200 square feet.
Wow.
We want a busy, relatively large strip center.
Yep. That's quite a small footprint in terms of retail space then.
As long as that sign is visible to the people who are parking in the parking lot and walking to their destination, we're happy.
Okay. So how does the business compare with typical retail then? You mentioned you're in a retail environment. How does it compare with a typical retail business?
Well, first of all, our investment is probably half or less of what a typical retail store costs to do. In franchising, we talk about the total investment, which includes working capital. In our case, the total investment is about $190,000, and that includes $50,000 in working capital.
Wow.
Our gross profit margins, because we're light manufacturing as opposed to retail, run approximately double the gross profit margins you would expect to see in retail.
Right.
As I said before, our hours, our bankers' hours, and our employees are minimal and very dedicated to what they do as opposed to typical retail.
So if somebody's listening and they're saying, hey, $190,000 to get in an investment, including $50,000 working capital, what sort of down payment? I'm presuming there's loans available. The SBA is funding these operations.
We are on the SBA registry,
yep,
and therefore highly eligible for SBA lending. But if somebody had about $50,000 and let's say above average credit,
yep,
they undoubtedly could fund the business through an SBA loan.
Yep. Okay, that's great. So if somebody's listening and they've got $50,000 and a will to be in a business, they can be up and running. How long does it take to get? You've got a franchise qualification process. How long? And obviously, you've got a build out with the store, etc. What sort of lead time is it from making a decision to inquire about buying the franchise and opening the doors? What sort of lead time would it be in average?
I would say less than 90 days,
oh,
typically.
Wow. Okay, that's quick.
The big variable there, of course, is the landlord finding the right location.
Yep, yep.
There's areas where that's very daunting.
Yes.
Right now, but there's areas, Sacramento is an example, where it's
right.
Not difficult at all.
Yep, and so that was one of my questions. The Sacramento market, I think, is in need of a Big Frog T-shirt store. Is that right?
I would think we would put eventually three or four of them in the Sacramento market. We have none there right now. We do have four or five in California, the closest being Mountain View, south of San Francisco.
Right. Okay, cool. Okay. We're heading into a break shortly, but why the name Big Frog? Just give me a quick overview. Why the name Big Frog? What the heck was that all about?
That's kind of a funny story. I'll give you the very short version of it. The founders of the business were trying to find a name, at my suggestion, that suggested what they do.
Right.
T-shirts now, quick T-shirts, something like that.
Yep.
And what they found was that all of the names were taken. All of the URLs were already spoken for.
Right.
Well, it turns out two of them had worked together at a company and jokingly referred to each other as Big Dog and Little Dog. And so they thought, well, we'll call it Big Dog T-shirts. And that didn't work out. The URL was taken.
Right.
They started thinking about the fact that this is very much a green process. They looked for a green animal.
Yep.
Right away they thought of frog. That URL was available. It's been a godsend. We have a lot of fun with that name, and we've springboarded off of that, including our design,
sure,
our window design, our interior design. the frog croaking at the front door and so on and so forth.
Yep, fantastic. What a great story. Rick, we're going to take a break. If you're listening, thank you for listening this morning, 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson. My guest is Rick Champagne from Big Frog T-Shirt. We've got some more questions for Rick when we come back from break.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 105.5 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Control, we can see socks for miles.
I'm sorry, Lunar One, did you say socks?
Miles and miles of socks.
Like we wear on our feet.
Roger, Control, the socks appear to cover the entire dark side of the moon.
In pairs?
No, just random socks and giant, fierce mountains of dryer lint.
The search is over! Yeah!
There are some things you can search for and never ever find, but when it comes to finding a local job, SacramentoHelpWanted.com has made the search super easy and free.
Do you see any purple argyle?
Search by keywords or phrases to find hundreds of jobs in accounting, HR, recruiting, retail, or healthcare or IT, and post your resume in minutes.
Lots of tube socks and a holy cow, there is a river of knee-highs.
I guess the search is over. Check us out. We're SacramentoHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Are you sure you don't see any purple argyles?
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of 4 books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest is Rick Champagne, and Rick's all the way from Tampa, Florida. And what's your title there, Rick? Are you not a CEO, it doesn't sound like. What's the title I give you?
You know, I've never had a title. I work for myself. I am a serial entrepreneur. I used to be in corporate America, and I got tired of other people controlling my destiny. So yeah. I don't have a title. I apologize.
You don't have a title. Okay, well, I'll just call you sir then. Does that work? So the business is called Big Frog T-Shirt. So I guess by the name, all you do is help people with T-shirts. Have I got that right?
No, actually, once again, we're not really a T-shirt shop. We're a custom garment decorating business. We do collared shirts. We do sweatpants, hoodies. We do all sorts of things, aprons, mouse pads, pillow slips. We have people bring us their own product to print on. As long as part of the product we're printing on is made out of some form of cloth, even if it's synthetic,
yep,
like dry fit or performance wear, we can print on it.
So the key thing, I mentioned before, I used to work at HP, so I'm very familiar with HP and their printers and those sorts of things. To me, the critical piece of one of the critical pieces of your success has to be the technology you guys use.
Absolutely. This was invented, this was perfected about 6 years ago and is really the first major overhaul of the garment decorating industry, which is probably 3,000 or 4,000 years old, and most of the technology was invented 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. Silk screening and embroidery have been around that long, and there's been no major competitor or new invention to speak of until this new technology known as DTG came along, which stands for direct to garment. This is a dyeing process as opposed to a printing process that creates an indelible bond with the fabric on which it's being printed. It will not fade, peel, crack in the wash, anything like that.
Right. So one of the things as I'm hearing you describe things, one of the things that's coming to my mind is that there's got to be a fair amount of security with operating a Big Frog T-shirt store, because not too much chance of outsourcing this to India or China or Mexico, customers want it now and they want it done on the spot, and that's the benefit of the retail locations. Have I got that right?
That's one of the benefits. Certainly, the visibility to the customer base. Sure, this stuff can be done by online companies who have access to the same technology.
Right.
Interestingly, they are typically 20 to 50% higher in price, apples for apples, than a Big Frog store would be for the same item.
Right.
But you also get customer service when you deal with us. You're dealing with a live human being. You can't do that when you're dealing with India or China or right. when you're dealing with somebody online.
Yep.
We do all of the design work from scratch for free on an unlimited basis for our customers. We'll design a company logo for them. We'll design a T-shirt for a kid's birthday party. We'll do something for a charity event, a church-related activity, something like that, the volunteers at a church activity. We do fundraiser-type items. We do all sorts of things that where our visibility to the public and our exposure to the public is important. We're both B2B and B2C, business-to-business and business-to-consumer.
Yep.
Probably about half of our business comes from other businesses. So we have owners who are not sitting in their store most of the time, but rather typically are out and about. They aren't making cold calls. They don't make sales calls, but they're responding to people who have inquired about the service and who need the kind of product that we want, that we offer.
Sure. So the equipment, I'm based on the model you're describing, the owner of the store is out doing sales calls and helping customers with their needs, and then the employees are running the store in terms of using the equipment, using the technology that's been put together?
You've got it completely accurate. I would add to that that at least one of the employees is a graphic artist.
Yes.
An inexpensive entry-level graphic artist, but who yes. knows how to use Photoshop or CorelDRAW.
Right.
Knows how to go online to Google Art or ClipArt and massage various things and turn it into a design that would please the particular customer in question.
Yep. And if the customer comes in, you guys put together a design and print the garments as you do. I presume you'd hand back the final artwork to the customer in some format. So if the customer wanted to get some print material done, such as, and I'm just thinking of a party where you've got serviettes and party hats, could they take that artwork to a local printer and have them make complimentary pieces for the party, for example?
And actually, we can handle that for them.
Well, there you go.
We don't send them down the street
right.
to people who may or may not be competing with us. We would rather do the design, control the job for that customer. We excel at customer service.
Right.
That is perhaps our single biggest strength. And we want to make sure that customer leaves our store completely satisfied with what they wound up with. By the way, notice the customer doesn't have to come into the store.
Right.
Another difference between us and retail. Typically in a retail environment, you've got to go pick something out.
Yes.
In our case, this all can be handled back and forth by phone or email.
Right, right. Yep, fantastic. Yeah, and I can see the end-to-end. So the customer needs can be met from their first need right through to the complete package. So you can put the whole thing together for them.
Precisely.
Yep. Who's your typical franchise buyer? I'm just wondering, just from the people that are buying franchises. I've written a book, Successfully Buy Your Franchise, and in Chapter 2, I talk about who buys a franchise. Who would be a typical franchise buyer for a Big Frog T-shirt company?
Not to be overly repetitive, but once again, fit is the most important thing.
Right.
And so that's a great question. Let me first describe who is appropriate, and then I'll tell you who is not.
Okay.
The person who is appropriate would be somebody with a little bit of management background, preferably.
Yep.
Some, supervising of employees would be helpful.
Yep.
But most of what you're going to do is be in an outgoing, pleasant environment. You're going to be making a presentation at the Chamber of Commerce. You're going to respond to calls from customers. This is all about relationship building. So the best person for us is somebody with a little bit of management background and an outgoing personality.
Right.
The two people who would not be appropriate
yes.
would be the super sales guy with $1,000 shoes and a $2,000 cell phone who likes to close big deals in a boardroom.
Right.
he's not going to be attracted to what we have to offer, other than by being a multi-unit owner. That possibly would be attractive to him.
Right.
And we would consider that.
Yep.
The other person who's not appropriate is somebody with a personality that is more like a dud as opposed to outgoing and pleasant.
I like that word, dud. Very just takes you right there. Just makes you get it crystal clear who you're talking about. So that's interesting. So a multi-unit owner would be a good fit for a Big Frog T-shirt company. You know, owning more than one location would work.
We have right now 51 franchises sold. About 48 of them are open, and of those 51 franchises, four of our owners already have multiple units. So yes, we. It's not the norm yet. We're a fairly young company. We're only about 4.5 years into franchising, but in that time, we've come to realize that multiple units are a very viable opportunity. We're looking for somebody to manage the manager, to really take charge of the overall business environment, drive business to the stores, but let the employees take care of designing and printing T-shirts.
Rick, we're running out of time. We've got about 30 seconds left, I think. Anything you want to mention that you think's important to highlight to a potential franchise buyer? What stands out that you'd like to highlight?
Again, I think I'm repeating myself, and I apologize, but I will tell you this. Aside from making money in this business, which is very much on everybody's mind,
yes.
I would say the following. In my 32 years in franchising, there is no franchise business that is even remotely as much fun as operating this particular business.
It sounds like fun, too, with a name Big Frog T-Shirt Company. I don't think you've got any choice but to have fun doing that. So, Rick, thanks for being a guest this morning. Thanks for phoning in from Florida. Appreciate you being on the show. And we've got to wrap it up there. So thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. We'll see you next Tuesday. Go from there. Actually, I've got a few more seconds. So my guest next week, I've got Del Richards returning. Del's actually going to, she's a PR expert, and she's going to come and interview me next week. So Del will be interviewing me. And I've also got a second guest, Mark Siebert. He's the CEO of a company called iFranchise. And iFranchise helps people put their franchise together. So that's it. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.